Our scripture text this evening comes from Matthew 11. Verses 25 to 30. Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Let's hear the words of our Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let us pray to our Lord. Lord God, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you that you delight to come to us, to teach us the things of salvation, to remind us week in and week out of the blessings of being an adoptive child of God. Speak to us again this evening. Give us ears to hear your word. Pray us all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our passage, or our sermon, is, "Are You a Learner?" And that's the question I'd like to open with. Are you a learner of Jesus Christ? Do you devote yourself to learning from the Son of God? If you were alive during the time of Jesus, would you have been his disciples? Would you have left everything behind and followed Jesus just to learn from him? Or are you asking yourself right now, I don't really actually know what I would learn from Jesus? Are you a learner of Jesus? This evening from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30, Jesus declares himself as the ultimate teacher, the ultimate revealer of God. And he invites us to come to him to find real rest for our souls. We're going to be looking at this passage in 3 points. First, the discriminating Father. Second, the revealing Son. And third, the inviting teacher. First, a discriminating Father. Second, a revealing Son. And third, an inviting teacher. Beginning in verse 25, we see that the Father has hidden some things from some and has hid and revealed things to others. And what is hidden or revealed is referred to in verse 25 as these things. So what are these things that the Father either hides or reveals? In order for us to understand what these things refer to, we have to look at the rest of Matthew 11. Beginning with the question from John the Baptist in verse 3. John the Baptist asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus responds in verse 5, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Yes, John, I am the one. I am the promised Messiah. I am the King. God's kingdom has come." These things speak of the truth that the promises of the Old Testament, that Jesus, or that God's Son, was going to come and redeem his people. These things are here. Jesus has come. This is the one that we've been waiting for. The Messiah has come. Yet as we continue to look at the context here in Matthew 11, this generation, which is now spoken of in verses 16 through 19, they do not believe these things. They don't believe that Jesus is the revealed Messiah. They're unbelieving, and as well, they mock Jesus. In verse 18, they called John the Baptist demon-possessed. And in verse 19, they called Jesus a glutton and a drunk. As well, in verses 20 through 24, we see three cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, who do not believe these things. They do not understand that the mighty works and the signs that have been done in their city means that the kingdom of God is here, that the promised Messiah has been revealed to them. They do not repent because they see the signs and that they're blind to the significance. These things, the idea that the kingdom of God is here, that God has sent his Savior, these things are what the Father either hides or reveals. And in the middle of verse 25, we see that these things are hidden from the wise and understanding. Like the cities in verses 20 through 24, these individuals will not hear, nor will they listen. The wise and understanding are no longer learners. They already know everything. They know the laws. They know the promises. They know what this life is about. They know what the Messiah was going to look like, and it looked nothing like Jesus. They knew God. They knew God's teaching. Yet, God's teaching had no effect on them. They weren't able to hear. And they weren't able to hear because it was God's good will. It was right, and it was good that these wise and understanding people were not able to hear. In the context of Matthew 11, these wise and understanding people were the religious leaders of the time. They were wise in their own eyes. They taught the people how to live, and how to live through their teaching of their rules. Yes, they taught Scripture, but they added their traditions as well. And they were burdening the people of God. They were teaching the Jews how to find life in working for God in order to become right with God. In Matthew 15:6, Jesus tells the Pharisees and scribes that their traditions that they've been teaching has made void the word of God. The wise and understanding are also those in Matthew 12 who try to trip Jesus up. They try to destroy and humiliate the Son of God. They hate the message of Jesus. They're fully and constantly against Jesus. They don't need Jesus. And that's why Jesus agrees with the Father in verse 26 and says, "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. It is right that the proud are made to be folly." As it says in James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Instead of being a teacher to those who put themselves above God himself, Jesus has come to teach the little children. And Jesus now is not speaking of the religious leaders, but those in the crowd who were willing to hear, who were humbly listening to God, waiting for this Redeemer to come. They were seeking salvation and life and ready to repent. They were ready to receive the King with a simple faith, looking for the kingdom of God and listening rather than subjecting and putting their own expectations on the Messiah. This is who Jesus delights to reveal to. Jesus delights revealing to little children with a simple faith. Matthew 19:14 says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." In these two verses, we see that Jesus begins by declaring that the Father discriminates. He reveals to children and not to the wise in understanding. And the things that the Father reveals is the things of salvation and life and redemption in Jesus Christ. The things that God reveals are not just interesting facts. It's not just the idea of, will we be able to fly in heaven? Or how many stars are there really? Or did Biden really win the election? These aren't the things that Jesus strives to teach us. These aren't the things that the Father is revealing. The Father is revealing salvation and life. He's revealing himself. And not only does the Father discriminate as he reveals the truth of himself and this kingdom in life, but we see in verse 27 that the Son is the revealer of the Father. Matthew describes here the revealing Son. How does the Father reveal himself? How does God the Father reveal himself to humanity? Well, it's through the Son. Jesus has always been the revealer of the Trinity. From creation, when God's words went forth and created, revealing the goodness and the power and the majesty of the Godhead. Jesus was the one who was the angel of the Lord who would reveal in the Old Testament. Jesus has always been the revealer, and today is the Word made flesh, revealing God. From creation, Jesus has been revealing God. And in verse 27, we see that he reveals that all things have been handed over to the Son. Life and death, salvation, knowledge, understanding have been handed over to Jesus. He is the one who is going to spread this truth. Spread the truth of salvation. Spread the truth of a gracious God. He's going to be the one to open blind eyes, to make the deaf to hear. And we know that Jesus reveals many things, but most specifically in verse 27, we see that the Son reveals specifically the Father. He knows the Father. He knows the Father's will and plan for salvation. He knows the way to the Father, the promises and the purposes of the Father. And this is what Jesus reveals to little children. Jesus has a perfect, a special, intimate relationship with the Father. And it is this understanding and this knowledge that Jesus reveals to whom he chooses. As David Platt says, revealing God was part of the purposes of Jesus' coming. He didn't come merely with a word from God. He came as the Word of God made flesh. And as such, he was God revealed to man. Jesus is perfectly suited to reveal God and the things of God because he is God himself. In John 14:9, Jesus is speaking to Philip, and Philip asks him, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus responds and says, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? As Jesus is the revealing Son, seeing Jesus is actually seeing God. Knowing Jesus is knowing the Father, because Jesus is God. Luther has great advice. If you would like to know God, he says this: stop speculating about the Godhead and climbing into heaven to see who or what or how God is. Hold on to this man, Jesus. He is the only God we've got. So if you're a little child If you want to know more about God, if you want to know about life and salvation, and to know it deeply and truly, come to Jesus. Because no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The Son is the designated revealer. He is the only source of our knowledge and understanding and revelation. He alone can give you eyes to see God for who he really is. Jesus is the exclusive revealer of God. Yes, a creation reveals aspects of God. His goodness, his faithfulness, his long-suffering. But Jesus reveals God himself. And if you are wise, then you don't need Jesus. But if you are a little child, if you don't have all of life figured out, if you don't think yourself smarter than God, then you right now have the real source of true knowledge in Jesus Christ. So first, God the Father discriminates. He reveals to little children and not to the wise and understanding. And he reveals the things of God, that his kingdom has come, that redemption is here, that Jesus is saving a people. And it is Jesus himself who reveals that. And thirdly, Matthew shows us that this revealer sends out an invitation. In verses 28 through 30, we see this inviting teacher. An inviting teacher. If you are a little child, and if you are humble, and you want to listen to God this evening, and if you are restless, if for the longest time you've been working and working, trying to hold up your own life, if you have a hard time of falling asleep, if you're weary, if you're tired from just everyday life, if you get home from work and you're instantly ready to go to bed, if you are home with the kids all day and you need rest, if you haven't taken a breath in years to let your shoulders rest, if your life is actually upside down, or where you think more of the things of this world and what we have to do in this world and what we have to accomplish this week, rather than having the majority of your thoughts come under the truth that God is our Father, that he cares for us, if you're having a hard time resting in Christ, trusting your Father for the future, trusting your Father in the midst of the coronavirus, if those things are burdening you, where you are made weary, if you need rest, Jesus invites you today. Jesus, the ultimate revealer of God, invites you in his word today to come to him. He offers himself. He offers himself as the revealer of God. In verse 28, we see that learning from Jesus, having Jesus reveal God to you, knowing salvation and life means rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites you to learn from him in order that he might grant you rest. The Jews who were listening to Jesus needed rest as well. They were working hard, and they were tired. They were burdened by the teachers of that time. Those whom they followed and listened to kept telling them more and more what they had to do, what laws and works they had to do. And they were being taught how to work for their salvation, for their peace, for their life. And they were tired. And Jesus himself offered to these Jews an alternative to the Pharisees. He offered himself and says, I will teach you. I will teach you of the things of God. And I will show you how to gain real rest. Unlike the Pharisees spoken of in Matthew 23:4, Jesus is not going to just continue to pile up more and more things on us. More works and more laws. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean now you have these lists of things you can do and these lists of things you can't do. Right? That's what my high school friends thought Christianity was about. All these new things that you have to do and these things that you can't do anymore. That's not what coming to Jesus is about. Salvation is not now about being burdened. Salvation actually is the opposite. It's about resting. Jesus wants to teach you real soul rest. The aim of this learning, the aim of learning from Jesus, is not that now we'd be taught so much that we now are the wise in understanding. The aim is not that we would have so much understanding that now we would know all of the things of God. It's not that we have to come to this point of understanding and knowledge that is the aim of Jesus teaching us. You don't get a certificate when now you know everything about God. The purpose is not that we would know all these different facts. The purpose and the aim of this teaching is that you, God's child, would have a real rest. And the things of this world, many things of this world promise rest. A nap, a vacation, a day off promise rest. And yet, they can't give you the real soul rest that Jesus promises here. I've known this more and more to be true. After I take a vacation, I am far more tired than before I left. Exercising, it gives me more rest. And yet, it's not an abiding and real full soul rest. When you are weary and heavy laden, where do you find rest? Is the solution to your weariness the things of the world? The things that promise rest? Learning from Jesus means that we actually know who God is, what he has done for us, and how he is sovereign and merciful. The solution to your restlessness, is knowing that God is sovereign, that he is in control. Knowing that God cares for you more than the sparrow means that you can rest. Knowing that God is fully in control means you can rest. Learning of Jesus and the salvation that you've been granted means that this evening you can rest. And this teaching means taking Jesus' yoke and learning from Jesus. One of the commentators that I read says that this yoke, which is spoken of in verse 29, is best equated with being taught by Jesus. Taking his yoke means learning from Jesus. A yoke was used to bind two oxen together. One strong oxen that knew exactly what they were doing, and one weaker oxen. So that the strong one, the one that knew what he was doing, would teach the weaker ox how to plow. Would teach how to listen and know what to do. And Jesus invites you to yoke yourself to him, to be taught by him, to learn how to live this life. He invites you to put yourself under his discipleship, to humble yourself and let Him lead you through this life, to guide you and teach you in every way. You and I get to be yoked to Jesus. In verse 29, we see that Jesus' character as well as a teacher is one of being gentle and lowly. Jesus actually cares about you. Unlike the Pharisees who were teaching these Jews, unlike the world that promises rest, Jesus cares intimately about you. He cares about teaching you. Even as you fail, even as over and over we shut our ears to our Lord and Savior, even as over and over we do not care about the things of God, Jesus is gentle with us. He comes to us. He lowers Himself to us that we would listen. He is patient. As a teacher, He is simple. As a teacher, He is thoughtful and knows our frame. This teacher isn't burdensome. He doesn't add to your work. He is gentle and lowly. And He desires, He really wants you to find rest in Him. And these verses end with Jesus declaring that this yoke, this learning from Jesus, is easy. And the work is light. Not only is the teacher loving, but the scope of the lessons are easy. They're not burdensome. They're freeing. They're good. They're delighting. They're satisfying. The things that you learn from Jesus are good. As we conclude, what do we learn from Jesus? What does the Son of God want? What does He desire for you to learn? How does learning from Jesus give me rest? It's because learning about God, learning from Jesus, means learning more and more the love of God. Jesus would delight in, would greatly delight in teaching you how much God loves you. Jesus would delight to teach you the sovereignty, the power of God. Jesus would love to teach you this week, this year, this evening, the comfort that you can have in the Father. Jesus would love to teach you the mercy and grace of God. He would love to teach you what His sacrifice means for you in your everyday life. Jesus would love to teach you, and is here offering Himself to teach you how far away your sins have been removed from you. The love of God that He would send Jesus. He wants to teach you the completed work of your salvation. He wants to teach you the power of the Spirit living and breathing within His children. He wants to teach you the joys of this life, how to walk loving God. He wants to teach you how to be closer and closer to Christ. He wants to teach you how to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. I hope and I pray that every one of us wants to learn more and more how to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Finally, learning from God, learning from Jesus, means learning more and more about what God has prepared for us in heaven. Learning more and more how to anticipate and hope for the joys of heaven. Learning more and more how to store up treasures in heaven. These are the things that Jesus offers to you today. He wants to teach every single one of us the things of God, the joys of salvation, the mercy of our God. How amazing does that sound? To be taught the real truths of God and gaining that rest for your soul. Today, if you have always been wise and understanding, if you've always had your life completely figured out, if you know the purpose of this life, and you knew what was beyond the grave, you knew why you do the things that you do, you knew what brings full joy and fulfillment in this life, if you have never looked outside of yourself, outside of human teaching, to know what this life is about, then you are dead. If you've not looked outside of yourself and looked to Christ, then you are dead in your sins. You are the wise and the understanding in this text. Salvation and life is hidden from you. But this evening, there is great hope. Because this Savior offers himself to you. If you repent, if you ask for forgiveness, if you humble yourself today, if you come as a little child, he promises to receive you in. This personal invitation is offered to you today. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And this relationship is one of God teaching us. Humble yourself. If you've never humbled yourself to learn from Jesus, this evening, humble yourself. Find God. Find life. Find a true rest for your souls. He extends his hand to you today. He invites you to come. Take Jesus' teaching. Take the Bible. Take Matthew 11:25-30 and fall at the feet of Jesus. Accept his invitation. Understand, see, and know God and life. As well, brothers and sisters, when you find Jesus, and when you find that you are tired and you're burdened by this world, how do you find rest? Right? It's not in the things of this world. It's not in a nap. It's not in vacation, because we continue to think of the things of this world as we rest. And it's not real soul rest, right? We take a day off and all we're thinking about is what we have to do the next week at work, or what activities the kids have to do this week. It's always this list of things that we have to do. There's no real soul rest in this world. Today, Jesus offers himself to you, that when you're tired, when you're burdened, when you're weary, that you would come to him. Take off the yoke you're binding and bind yourself to Jesus. Learn from him. And today, this evening, Jesus offers himself to you in his word. Take this word. Daily meditate on it. Read it. Pray through it. Jesus wants to teach you, and he offers himself his word where he speaks. Take his word. Reading, meditating, and praying on Scripture is not supposed to be a work. Reading Scripture is how we find rest. It's where we are reminded who Jesus is, what he has done for us, who the Father is, and his love for us. This is how the Spirit guides you and strengthens you each day. If you need rest, come to his word. Listen to Jesus. This week, as we look forward to Christmas, take this word and come to know the gift that Jesus really is. Know it more for yourself, what Jesus has done, what his birth actually means. And let that give you rest. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you so much that you have sent Jesus and your word to reveal salvation to us. Lord, there's no other way to know. Lord God, we thank you so much that you invite us to come to Jesus. And we pray that every one of us this evening would either for the first time or once again come to Jesus, fall at his feet, and beg him to teach us. To teach us of himself. To teach us how to live this life with a big God. To teach us how to find true rest and a joy in this life. Lord, please grant us that grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.